And it's a great day to be alive. I know the sun's still shining when I close my eyes. There's some hard times in the neighborhood, but why can't every day be just this good?
Next on News Radio WGNS, it's time for your motivational boost with Steve Yates.
Good morning. It is a great day to be alive, and it's a thrill to spend time with you today. It's time for your motivational boost. I'm your host, Steve Yates. Hello to everyone listening on AM 1450 or FM 100.5 or 101.9. Also online at WGNSradio.com or via our WGNS Radio app, which is free to your Android or smartphone. I want to take this opportunity to thank Opossum's Restaurant for their sponsorship of our show. It's a great place to meet up with friends and make new ones. I went into Opossum's last week, had lunch with the owner, proprietor Gary McGuire. Great guy, awesome storyteller, excellent food. They have a made-from-scratch kitchen, delicious homemade meals such as shepherd's pie, bangers and mash, and pulled pork. They're located in the Kroger Shopping Center across from Sportscom on Memorial Boulevard. Our quote of the day, tied into our theme, which I'll tell you about in just a moment, is this. It comes from Stephen Fry. He says, "It's now very common to hear people say, 'I'm rather offended by that,' as if that gives them certain rights. It's actually nothing more than a whine. When someone says, 'I find that offensive,' it has no meaning, it has no purpose, it has no reason to be respected as a phrase. 'I'm offended by that.' Well, so what?" That's what Stephen Fry has to say about that. I want to spend time this morning talking about our dealing with the urge to be so easily offended. I can tell you there's times I get offended. Usually it's not something big. I can get offended sometimes over the smallest and most insignificant things. Sometimes it seems we find ourselves taking offense like it's a limited time offer. For example, one of the places I sometimes get offended is when I'm driving. I'm offended by people who drive too slowly. Drives me crazy, and I probably will be perched on their bumper if they're in front of me and driving too slowly. In fact, in the few accidents I've been involved in my life, they've all been my fault and as a result of my following too closely. So I'm still a work in progress in that regard. I'm also offended by people who drive too fast. I'm offended by people who don't think they need to stop at red lights or when they don't give their turn signal. But most of all, I'm offended when traffic is really bad and I need to merge over a lane. Now, sometimes I'm the guy who sits there on the side and waits for what seems like hours because no one wants to let me in. But sometimes I'm in the lane where people need to get in and they're trying to merge. And because I'm such an incredibly thoughtful, generous person, I will often pause and let people into the flow of traffic. And if I ever let you in, I only expect two things in return, just these two things. Number one, I expect you to move quickly, okay? Just get your car in there because there's nothing worse than me letting you in and you get through the green light and I'm stuck at the red light. That's just not fair. So move quickly. And the second thing I require or expect is just a simple acknowledgement, just a nod or a wave to acknowledge the favor that I just did for you. You know, thanks a bunch, man. You're awesome. Thanks for letting me in. That's all I ask for. But what irritates me sometimes is when I'll stop, I let someone in, and they drive right on into the space, no nod, no wave, and I'm thinking, couldn't you at least say thank you? Couldn't you at least hold your hand up in the rearview mirror and wave? But no, sometimes that doesn't happen, and it irritates me because I'm so easily offended. Well, I'm only being somewhat facetious when I tell you about that, but perhaps you can relate to that. You know, the rest of you holy people who have it all figured out, who are never offended, you just sit there and polish your halo because the rest of us are a work in progress and we tend to get offended too easily from time to time. Maybe you get offended because your perception is that people are ignoring you. You text them, you email them, you leave a voicemail and hours go by and you're thinking, what do they have to do that's more important than returning my correspondence? Why can't they respond to me in a reasonable period of time? And we get offended sometimes. And we think all these terrible things just because we haven't gotten a response back to our text or email or voicemail. Or maybe you do something nice for someone and there's no acknowledgement, no handwritten thank you note, no email saying, hey, thanks, you're awesome. Thank you for helping me out. And you're thinking, after everything I've done, they didn't even take a moment to let me know it meant something to them? I want you to think for a few moments this morning about the story of the prodigal son. You're familiar with the story from Luke chapter 15, the young man who wanted his inheritance early, and after he got it, he went out and he wasted it all. And finally, he ended up living with the pigs before he came to his senses, and he went back to his father, and his father received him with open arms and threw a party in his honor. Do you remember the older brother from the story, the one who stayed home? When the younger son got home and the father threw the party on his behalf, the older brother was angry and he wouldn't go in. He was offended. He's like, "Dad, I've served you all these years. I didn't violate your commandments and you never threw a party for me." He got offended. We get offended sometimes because we don't get the appreciation we think we deserve. And it comes down usually to our pride. We get offended because we think we're important, that we weren't shown the respect we thought we deserved. You disrespected me and I'm offended. You didn't come visit me when I was sick. You didn't reach out to me and check on me. You didn't make me feel special. So sometimes not only are we easily offended, but sometimes you're around folks who look for reasons to be offended. They're not happy unless they're unhappy. They look for things to go wrong, and you don't have to look very far sometimes for confirmation that from time to time things will go wrong. And it's our way of reinforcing the fact that we're important, and everyone else needs to acknowledge that. There's an awesome verse from the Proverbs that I think helps us deal with this mindset. It's from Proverbs 19:11. If we struggle with taking offense, think about this. Solomon wrote there, "A person's wisdom makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense." A different translation says it this way, "Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs." Now, I've got some work to do in this category. How about you? We live in a world that's quick to judge, quick to call foul, quick to be offended, but very slow to overlook an offense. Now, to overlook something doesn't mean you pretend like it never happened. It doesn't mean you say it's okay to do that. Okay is not really the word we're looking for. Really, we're looking for the term forgiveness. To overlook is a form of forgiveness. You and I cannot right all the wrongs that happen to us in this life. We'll drive ourselves crazy trying to do that. The Hebrew word that's used there in the Proverbs has to do with passing over. It's what you and I call taking the high road. We could stay down there lower and be offended and get upset and cause a problem and let this thing weigh us down. But instead, we look for ways to rise above it. It's my glory to rise above, to pass over this offense. But we live in an era and a time in society when we rarely do that. Paula Deen allegedly said some racially inappropriate things years ago, many years ago, and it cost her TV show. I'm not endorsing what she allegedly said, but would you want something you said 25 years ago to be dug up on you? I wouldn't. People can be harsh and unforgiving, even for someone with an overall good track record. None of us are impeccable at all times with our words and our deeds. We've got to leave that space in our heart to forgive. But so many times people bog down and they have the attitude of, "I don't care what you say, I'll never forgive you for what you did or said." But God says a person's wisdom makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook an offense. It helps me understand that because of God's amazing grace towards me, I need to give others the benefit of the doubt more than I do. Because I've been forgiven so much, I need to be willing to forgive what others have done to offend me and hope for the same from them when I let them down. There's a parable in Matthew 18. We call it the parable of the unforgiving servant. There was a servant who owed his king an amazing amount of money. Some translations say it was millions of dollars. More money than a person could have made in his lifetime in that era. And it's hard for us to appreciate how massive that amount of money was that this servant owed. But let me give you an idea. True story. In July of 2009, Josh Musinski went to a gas station to buy a pack of cigarettes. He used his debit card, and when he checked his account balance a few hours later, he was shocked to learn that there was a charge for 23 quadrillion, 148 trillion, 855 billion, 308 million, $184,500. That's what that pack of cigarettes cost him. Our national debt is out of control, and it's only 19 trillion. This guy was charged 23 quadrillion. That's 17 numbers in the debit column. Well, needless to say, it scared him, and Josh called his bank, and after a couple hours on the phone, he managed to clear things up. The bank corrected the error the next day, and they even removed the $15 overdraft fee they charged him. That's my favorite part of the story. You overdraw your account to the tune of $23 quadrillion, and all the bank does is charge you a $15 overdraft penalty. But imagine for a moment how you would feel if you looked at your bank account and you saw those 17 digits in the debit column. I'm pretty safe in saying that few of us can get our minds around $23 quadrillion. And paying it off, forget that. No chance. Not in this lifetime, not in 100 lifetimes. All Josh could do was hope the bank would see the problem and correct it. And of course, he had reason to believe that that would happen because he really didn't owe the money. It was obviously a mistake, and the bank did straighten that out. But when Jesus told this parable in Matthew 18, this servant really did owe that overwhelming amount of money, and the king forgave him that debt. And he said, "You don't have to pay back a penny." Now that would be amazing enough, but there's more to the story. After this servant was forgiven this huge, insurmountable debt, he gets offended at a fellow servant who owes him a very small amount of money. And he puts a chokehold on his fellow servant who owed him this money and demanded payment. And the point Jesus was making is that before we get offended at what somebody else does to us or what we think they owe us, we need to think about how much God has been willing to forgive in our lives. I love the way it's said in Ephesians 4, verse 2. It says, "Always be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love." When we get so easily offended, we're not showing proper love, because part of the essence of love is the ability to make allowances for each other's faults. We tend to be great lawyers for ourselves, but harsh judges of other people. Isn't it interesting how sometimes we bog down in not giving others the benefit of the doubt, but we're quick to give ourselves that out? When I step back and I realize the grace that's been given to me, I need to be more inclined to show that grace to others. You know, when someone's snappy with me, maybe they're having a really bad day. Maybe they've just gotten terrible news from the doctor. Maybe they have children who, for whatever reason, are having difficulties and challenges, maybe making destructive decisions, and they're preoccupied with that. Or maybe if they cut you off in traffic, they're running behind and they're cutting us off in traffic is not about us. Maybe it's just what's happening in the moment. Maybe their bad mood is not about you or me. So as a follower of Christ and one who's trying to let my light shine, here's what I want. I want to have a thick skin and a soft heart. So often what we have is thin skin and a hard heart. But I don't want to be so easily offended. I want to have a soft heart and learn better ways to give people the benefit of the doubt. I want to show the kind of grace to others that God has shown to me. How about you? And so rather than be offended, I want to be able to react in ways that says, I wonder what they're going through that would cause them to act in that manner. I wonder if there's anything going on in their lives that I need to pray for. And so rather than being offended by what's going on and what they do, I have compassion. Why? Because of the multitude of benefits of the doubt that God has given me. You know, we're commanded to be merciful people. There's another scripture in Colossians 3:13 that says, similarly, what Ephesians says, make allowances for each other's faults. And it says, forgive anyone who offends you. That's a pretty powerful statement. Think about that. Forgive anyone who offends you. Remember what our Lord did. He forgave us, so we in turn must forgive others. You say, okay, Steve, I get it. Someone cuts me off in traffic, I forgive them. I can do that. Someone forgets to say thank you, I'll overlook that. I'll pass over that offense. I'll rise above it all. But when they do something really, really big, you know, we're talking like a massive offense, they hurt me or hurt someone I love or lie about me or dislike me for no reason, you know, the really big things, I'm going to feel justified in my anger and my bitterness for those things. Well, think about what our Savior said. He said, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. That's a sobering thought. We've got to get over ourselves and make it less about us and more about opportunities to forgive. There's a beautiful verse and also in Ephesians that says in chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ has forgiven us. How do we forgive? We are to forgive just as we have been forgiven. And there's no magic button. There's no quick switch flip on that. It may be a long process. But what we find is the closer we get to God with it, the more we strive to be like Him, the easier it is for us to forgive those who have hurt us. And we stop keeping a record and counting up the numerous wrongs that we feel others have perpetrated against us. And we have a spirit and a heart of forgiveness. It's really part, you know, if you're a leader in any type of scenario, it's really part of heart-based leadership, love-based leadership, is to have that soft heart and thicker skin. See, one of the things we learn over the course of our lives is that people who are hurt sometimes hurt other people. That's true, but there's also something else that's true. And that is forgiven people forgive other people, because it's not about us, it's about Him. That being our Savior. I don't have a right to be as offended as often as I am. I'm not justified in the anger I sometimes feel, because it's not about me. It's because of what Christ did for me. Doesn't make it easy to overlook offenses, but the more we experience the grace of Christ in our lives, the more we learn to forgive. It's our glory to overlook an offense. That's definitely part of the battle in this life as we move forward. And I want you to think about those things this weekend. Look for opportunities to be forgiving. Reach out to others in a positive way. Thank you to Clark Maples, Betsy Maples Taylor and her team, for sponsoring our show. They have online and live auctions pretty much every week. They're a great way to sell real estate, from watches to vehicles. The friendly Clark Maples team will help guide you through the process. Visit them at clarkmaples.com. We'll see you next time. Keep your eyes on the prize. And please, make it a wonderful weekend. It's all about direction, not perfection. We're a work in progress. Stay encouraged. We'll talk to you again next Friday. God bless.